talking working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Oh, do we have a show for you guys today? Not only do I have the beautiful and most talented meteorologist in the United States on the radio with me today, but I got the quietest game warden that works for the state of Oklahoma in here with me too. Lieutenant James is here. So, hi Lacey, how are you?
Good. Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great.
I'm doing great. I spent the weekend with your buddy BJ.
Fun.
Oh yeah, he came out and helped me work cattle, and we did a little deer hunting, and we did a little golfing, and Sunday
made a weekend of it.
Yeah, Sunday it was daylight to dark cattle deal. He was probably glad to get home. So, but he's but no,
it's good for him.
We had a lot of fun, and before I forget, it's 64 mm-hmm. degrees. The wind is out of the south at 21 miles an hour, and the gust is up to 28 already, and the humidity is getting low. It's 38, so it was a wonderful day, which you probably already knew this, but it blows a little harder out here than it does in the city.
Oh, it does?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't know if you knew that
or
not.
I'll write that down, too.
I didn't know if you knew that or not. Also, there was a, by popular demand, mm-hmm. there's supposedly a need, according to my wife, Sandy, there's a need for some T-shirts for you. And what it is, so the only thing I could come up with is it's going to have Today in Ag on the top of it, and then it's going to have you in your weather, with your finger out, you know, like you do on TV all the time, your weather mode, I guess you want to call it, formation.
I guess, okay. Yeah. My weather pose.
Yeah, there you go. That's the better word for it. Sorry.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a tornado in the background, and then we're going to have a tractor farming blended into all this. And that's the best I could do, to mix weather with agriculture.
Wow, you're quite the graphic designer.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know if I'll be able to design this. But it's a great imagination deal. But anyway, have you got any good news for us? It's dry out here.
It you know what? Over the next, 9 to 10 days, there's very little moisture showing up, period, out that way. So, no, I don't. It looks pretty bad, actually, as far as moisture is concerned.
And I seen Mr. Payne had the Long Ranger talking about December and January and February, which I know you're not the biggest on that deal, that forecasting that far out, but he said it's going to be kind of cool in December.
Yeah, I mean, we have to do it. We all have to do it, and we have to look at the data and, you know, figure out what makes the most sense, the highest, best consensus, but it's just, it's so variable, so... Yeah, but it does. I mean, La Nina is in play, so it's a weak La Nina. That's not the only key factor, though.
It's a weak one?
It's a weak one.
Is that good or bad?
One. Well, for moisture, that could be bad. Well, but it depends. There's a lot of other factors besides just that particular pattern of the ocean temperatures, you know?
Oh, well.
It's just one system that we look at.
Okay, well, that's kind of what
I wish I did. I wish I was saying, oh, yeah, you know, we got this big system next week, and you're going to get an inch of rain, but there's nothing like that at the moment. Around Thanksgiving is kind of our next better chance of rain. May even have a little snow out in the panhandle with it, but it's we're still talking, you know, 9-10 days out with that, so, and it doesn't look that impressive.
Well, you're full of hope.
I know. I was ready to tell you that.
I got Lieutenant James to smile just now.
He always smiles. Why is he so mean to you?
I'm not mean to him. I seen him at a co-op meeting at Sarah's the other night. He was sitting over there with his in-laws and kids, and I was at another table. I never seen his expression change one bit. Even if they'd have said, James, you got $1 million worth of stock, he'd probably went, okay.
So, I have a lot of friends that pay big money for their face to look like that, so don't harass him.
But he is serious about his job.
It's a serious job, Jimmy.
It is a serious job. And speaking of seriousness, you and your buddy up there in Tulsa, you really got her started today on social media.
Apparently, which I wasn't aware of.
Well, I'm going to briefly go through some of it, but... So, okay. I've been holding on to this news because I actually got the email 2 weeks ago about...
Ooh, you had breaking news and you were keeping it to yourself?
No, I was keeping it till I had you on here to talk about it, and then you guys broke it on social media, so now I got to go with it.
Okay.
And, you know, that's what news people do. They just wait till the right moment, the popularity, and they'll get the most posts and all this other stuff. If you guys are just joining us... Channel 9 meteorologist Lacey Swope is on here with me, and you'd been mad at me yesterday because I'm looking back here across the hallway, and my partner in crime back there that's doing paperwork, he said, it's a good thing Lacey probably wasn't listening to your show today, because yesterday, what'd I do?
Were you talking smack?
No, I wasn't talking smack, because I'm not afraid of talking smack to your face, but they, right before the show... I was on social media, and Lacey Lowry posted something, and I was reading it. And twice yesterday, I said, hey, don't you guys forget, Lacey Lowry's going to be on the show. Lacey Swope's going to be on the show tomorrow. Too many Lacey's.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, sometimes I introduce myself as her. That's just what happens.
Oh, you both are beautiful women. You both know your jobs, and you both are outdoors persons. And we gotta love you, both of you.
Well, I mean, we are very similar on the same show, same time slot, same channel. So I totally get it.
And she's been to two more quail banquets than you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep, I know that
for
a
fact. I love keeping a tally.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're involved with Quail Forever and State of Oklahoma, you know what goes on at the rest of the chapters. So, anyway, and I seen this year you picked BJ going to one over with BJ over mine, but you got another one coming out here sooner than you think.
Oh, right. Great.
But believe me, you'll get that email. So, let's talk about COVID-19 with the white-tailed deer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, to be fair, I broke nothing, by the way. I didn't have a clue until I saw her post this morning.
Well, the question...
You're talking about Tess Monty, aren't you?
Yes. But the question you asked got it fired up. You remember what you asked?
Okay, yeah, but you have to explain it. So the post she had posted that, I guess, there are Oklahoma deer now that have tested positive for COVID-19.
Yes.
And it was all about the transmission to humans and what to do to avoid it and, you know, all of that. And I just said, well, do the deer actually show symptoms? Because I was picturing a deer walking by coughing, and can you imagine seeing that? So I said, I just asked that question. Do they show symptoms, and are they impacted by it, or is it something that they don't show any symptoms, their blood tests positive for it? That's what I asked.
Yeah, that's what you asked, but you know as well as anybody, when you ask something, even if it makes sense, the responses were very overwhelming, not to be the brightest of people in responses.
Okay. I haven't seen the responses, so you're just going to tell me.
One of them is, Lacey, this Saturday, I think they will take care of the COVID on the deer when the guns go pow-pow. Yeah. And one guy says, don't harvest the deer unless it has a mask on.
Oh, no.
And then, one guy here maybe answered with some intelligence here. Some animals do, some don't. One strong theory is that they become infected due to the seasonal disposition of fertilizers, and I'm gonna stop right there because the rest of it doesn't make any sense. It's not bad, but it just it's Not,
yeah.
And I want to see the video, this other person goes, I want to see the video of the person good enough to sneak up and shove that swab in their nose.
You have to laugh.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I love you, because you bring out the best of people in Oklahoma.
Well, sometimes I just kind of walk into a room, throw a grenade, and leave. I do that from time to time.
Well, I'm telling
you. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. But, you know, a couple of years ago when you were out here at the Quail Banquet, when you told that story about your first deer hunt, I ain't kidding. That room has carpet in it, and you could hear pin drops on the carpet. Because you were being realistic. I mean, it was as real as a person could get. So I got to appreciate that. But you on social media, that's a whole different ball game.
That's what social media is for, is it not?
Yeah. And then this one lady goes, they lose their taste and smell.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, though, it is safe to eat. Deer are highly acceptable to do is to it, so we could have been eating it for years and you would never have known. And then Tess responded to you and said, the USDA National Animal Disease Center says its studies reveal that deer do show mild symptoms like coughing, but no fever.
No way!
Yeah, and it says post-mortem research shows some of the deers have lesions on their lungs. There you go!
Okay, can you imagine sitting in your stand and a deer comes by coughing up a lung?
Are you going to let it go if it's a 10-pointer, scored about 180?
I can't imagine that happening, though.
Yeah, honest question, yes or no? If there's a 10-pointer, walks by, that scores 160 to 180, it's buffed up, in the full rut, and it coughs, what are you going to do?
I mean, if it provides me a shot, I'm taking it.
Okay, there you
go. That's not going to put a damper on my plans, if that's what you're asking.
No. So that would... Well, anyway, that's... Oh, man, I could go on for an hour on these responses. You're going to have to get on there after... What, you at the mall now? You going shopping or your workout?
No, I have to go to the mall. I have to get stuff for a photo shoot. One of my favorite parts of my job, let me tell you.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Anyway, so... But,
Yeah.
So, you know what happens this Saturday, I guess.
I do. Full force gun season opens this Saturday.
The Orange Army.
How many hunters do you think will be out this weekend, James?
You know, in the past, we've talked, my agency's talked about it, and they have likened it to being more than would fill Memorial Stadium at OU and Boone Pickens combined. So,
that's perfect. I'm using that analogy. I'm feeling that sucker.
So, you know, that means, you know, you're pushing probably 200,000 in the woods. So that's a lot of folks, mm-hmm. with firearms. And of course, you know, our number one concern with that is, and I joke at the Orange Army deal,
right. But,
that blaze orange, you know, if people, I get a lot of people a lot of times, I don't like wearing it. The deer see me and, I don't like wearing it. Just, you know, it's da-da-da-da. Well, it could be the only thing that saves your life. You know, it's the only color that doesn't exist in nature, so it stands out. And that may be the only thing that somebody sees that's trying to focus on a deer to shoot. And like I said, it's something that's required by law, but it's kind of like the seatbelt law. It's for your safety. You know, it can save you. So we take that one pretty seriously. And we get a lot of misconceptions that's only required on public land. That is not the case. It is required on private land as well. So anywhere, if you're in the woods, this coming next couple weeks, you're going to be required to have it on regardless of what you're hunting, except for waterfowl, cranes, and such like that. So, and crows. So, you know, like I said, and I see some other states that have come up with requirements to have blaze orange posted outside of hunting blinds if it's occupied. I think that's kind of a good idea. I really do, because there's a lot of times that, you know, you can't see if there's somebody in that blind. And if you know, if there's some piece of orange posted outside of it, it lets you know, hey, there's somebody in there, and don't shoot in this direction. So,
yeah.
Anyways, like I said, it's my busy time. It's already picked up. Had several deer poached in the past couple weeks, and
it's so aggravating.
Yeah, caught some Sunday night out doing the thing, and you know, it's just one of those deals. It's the time of year that it starts happening. Deer are everywhere right now. I can tell you the rut's really going. So bucks are chasing hard, and you never know where you'll see one. Trust me, they're just anywhere and everywhere. So.
Well, interesting.
Lacey, I'll tell you, when I lived in Kansas City, I hunted in northern Missouri, not too far from the Iowa line. And here's where I become a firm believer in orange. Because even if you're not hunting, say you're a farmer out checking your cattle. And
yeah.
You need to wear an orange cap or something. There was a farmer up there on the property next to the property I hunted on up there that was out checking cattle and walking through the woods looking for a baby calf, and he was in a pair of brown duck coveralls with a white t-shirt on.
Oh, no.
He didn't make it.
Yep.
Man. I have a similar story, actually Kiefer, Oklahoma, where I grew up. When I was a kid, the basketball coach of the boys' team shot one of the players out hunting. He'd actually taken him hunting. Oh. And, same type of deal. I don't know the orange or the bulb. I don't know the story, but I knew that as a kid. So growing up was always, my dad was so serious about orange. In fact, when my sister and I were little, we'd be out on our property anytime during hunting season. We always had to take our ponytails and put them in our, we always had to wear orange hats anytime we were out and about on our land, and then had to put our ponytails up in our hats, which I don't know if that really helped, but my dad was very adamant about that. and then we would also, have to wear a vest. I mean, the whole nine yards. And I mean, I wasn't hunting as a kid, little bitty out there, but every time it was like, if you're going out, you're taking the orange with you. So,
because
you never know. You never know who's trespassing, and you don't ever know anyone's intentions. And
well, the first 30 minutes of the morning and the last 30 minutes of the day are the worst, because Lacey, you and I talked a little bit about it last week, buck fever.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And it happens to all of
there
us.
There needs to be a cure for it.
Yeah. It's, there's,
And I have a similar story, you know, related to that with the shooting deal and from Caddo County. Had a man and his son, a 23-year-old son, you know, they had a permission on the piece of property. They saw a buck go into a draw. They both decide to get out and, you know, walk both sides of that draw, hoping to jump this buck up and everything. Of course, no orange. They're doing that. The son sees movement, doesn't fully identify, and shoots his dad. Thankfully, hit right in the belt line on his left hip. Instead of making entry into his body, it circled around and exited just before it hit his spine with a 243 rifle.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and could have been very bad situation.
Tragic.
You know, right, and the next day was Thanksgiving, you know, so it could have been a really bad deal. Wow. Thankfully, it wasn't, but we see signs of that and instances of that all the time. And like I said, orange is your best friend this time of year, so...
Yeah, it's
totally. Great reminder.
Yeah, have you got any orange, Lacey? You need me to send you some.
I've got it in every shape and size, and yes.
Oh, by the way, I don't know why this just hit me.
The only orange I will wear, I will say.
I was thinking of
it's the only orange I own. Period.
I've seen some pictures. Has Brooklyn got any orange yet?
She does.
Oh,
she does.
Good.
Yes.
Good mom.
Starting them early.
She's got her camo, and sometimes she likes it, sometimes she hates it. It depends on her mood.
well, I was thinking of that. I was doing something this morning, and I ran across that picture of you up at your sister's wedding at home, and it was you and Tyler and Brooklyn in the picture. She's going to be just like you, isn't she?
Oh my, she is. She's a little mini me. Now, if you ask my husband, she's exactly like him, but I totally disagree.
No,
she looks like me.
Yes.
She's ornery like him. That's the only trait she got.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up. I never known Tyler to be ornery. Whoa, back up. Back up a little bit there. You're on radio. There's probably 20,000 listeners out there right now listening to you.
Listen, it's a fact, so I'm not worried about it. You're acting like I'm lying here and I'm going to get called out.
She's just like me, Jimmy. She understands paying for her raising. She just doesn't understand paying for hers and her spouse's raising. That's what I always say.
I got a weather.
That's awesome.
I got a weather text in.
Okay.
From the famous, I call him R.H. from south of Delhi. But his name, okay. His name's Roy. We'll go with Roy. How's that?
Odell High.
Yeah, Odell High. He said, okay. 8 years out of 10, it rains on my birthday.
When's his birthday?
Which is November 26th.
Okay. So, I mean, that's
write that
that's
down
a good
in
stat.
Your memo. Put that on your hard drive.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Good, I know we're giving
this,
you
some. This is some more of that scientific information.
This is
100% chance of rain.
Yep. Western Oklahoma.
If you'll remember, Jimmy, we forecasted an early freeze out here, but we weren't that successful.
Ooh, matter of fact, I got to bring you up to date on that deal with the crickets.
Okay.
Crickets.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The guy that I helped with peanut harvest this year, Mr. Gary Ripito, him and his neighbor to the south, Randy Patton, they put down on their calendar when they heard the crickets singing and 41 days from when they heard it, we got our first freeze out here. And that was on
it worked.
I mean, it only froze for a minute, but
it wasn't very long.
But it worked. So he made it clear to me during peanut harvest that he had that on his calendar, and it's still not a myth as far as he's concerned. Now the other stuff we talked about early, it went down the drain, but I didn't know there was El Nino, or I wouldn't have forecasted that.
That changed it.
La Nina screwed with your cricket forecast.
Hey, I bet
well, that's something to note too.
What?
Well, you gotta remember those factors. So now when we start to learn, we can add more data. You're now adding that La Nina makes that incorrect.
Yeah.
You just adding all these things, and after a while, you get real accurate.
Well, figure out November 26th. Oh, now he texts back. Probably not going to this year.
It's going to be one of those 2 out of 10.
It's going to be one of those
hey,
2.
Hey, there is, I told you, there is that storm coming in. So, I mean, we'll see. It might.
When is it?
The 26th.
Right around that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Probably just get cold weather.
Yeah, we'll get the cold, dust, dry weather.
And then we got really high winds coming tomorrow, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Not as high. North Central Oklahoma is kind of where the peak will be. But, 40 plus mile an hour winds for a while.
Well, you guys can have that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go do your mall thing. And
please don't.
Well, you can hang
on
here.
James,
I got to do a break. I got to do a break if you're going to hang on here with me and James.
I've got to do this.
Anyway, well, thanks again for joining us. And you have a wonderful day.
You too. Have a great day also.
Yeah, right. Have a great day and have a good weekend. Hopefully get to hunt.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully you're not too busy.
Oh, it's already too busy, but that's the life of a game warden. So.
Well, thanks for what you do. Jimmy, take care.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Well, Lieutenant James, she's gone. That was Lacey Swope with Channel 9 Meteorologist. We're talking deer hunting and some really not so good weather news. But anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep, we're back. 68 degrees. It's fair and breezy. Winds is out of the south at 25 miles an hour. Listen, don't show me no gust. Wonder why. Where's my gust at? Anyway, we'll just say 30 miles an hour. That'd be pretty safe. In western Oklahoma, Lieutenant James, his actual name's Lieutenant James Edwards, but we go by Lieutenant James here for a reason. But anyway, gun season opens. Rifle season opens this coming Saturday. And safety is a big factor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we want everybody to have an enjoyable experience outside hunting with all forms. But with rifle season, obviously, we're firing center fire rifles that can shoot up to miles, you know. And so, I mean, you see there's a lot more people shooting long-range stuff. We know that these guns are capable of shooting a mile or more, some of them 2 miles or more. So, you know, we're obviously harvesting animals with those deer, so we know that it can do damage to people. So, you know, transporting loaded firearms, you know, it's always best to not transport a loaded firearm. When you're crossing fences, don't cross fences with a loaded firearm. Getting into and out of especially elevated blinds, unload those things. Just be safe, you know. Think of that. Yeah, be smart. You know, it's something that could save your life or somebody. We see a lot of people hunting with their loved ones, whether it be kids or parents or grandparents or whatever. We don't want you know, an instance to ruin
ex-husbands and wives.
You know, we don't want it to ruin a situation and cause a problem. I'm one of about 20 something hunting incident investigators for the wildlife department. I've investigated numerous instances.
Oh, and he's a Dick Tracy, believe me. Yeah. I've seen him work.
You know, it's one of those deals that I'm gonna uncover every stone, just trying to figure out what happened. And one of the things that they taught us at that academy that I went to was, you know, let the evidence speak to you. You can't go in with assumptions about what happened. We all do that. We're all guilty that we're human beings. But we learned it very well at that academy, that you can't go in and make assumptions about what happened. Figure out all the facts, and then the facts will tell you what happened. They gave us, we had what we call a practical examination at the end, where they totally recreated an incident that they had worked in their past. And like by putting dummies and actually firing rounds in as much a realistic a way as possible to what they had worked. And the one instance, we were in a group of like four or five of us, and we had to work it together. And the group that I was in, they said, well, you got a tough task. Nobody's ever solved this one. No group has ever solved this. They'd been using it for about 4 or 5 years at that time. And our group went through, and we kept telling ourselves, let the facts, you'll speak. And at the end of it, they said, congratulations, guys, you're the first group that solved it.
What was it? Can you talk about it?
It was just a mistaken identity deal. You know, somebody was hunting and didn't know somebody else was in the area, and the person came walking through and they shot. But there was some other details about it that they said nobody had ever gotten every little piece of it right. you know, and we were that our group was able to do that. And so I've applied that to all aspects of my job. You know, the facts will dictate what happened. And, you know, some cases here in the past week or so, those things are, you know, I'm finding the facts. I get the facts. And hopefully when the outcome comes out, we'll have a successful conclusion.
I know one time a year ago summer, there was an incident on my property on the Carter side of the river, and come out and you came out and did some checking and everything, and man, they just that roll of tape and the beer can just kind of
yeah, you just, you know, there's all kinds of evidence that shows up at these scenes, you know, and you take all of those, and with technology and sometimes social media or even the regular media, we can put some things together. We had a case, I remember 7 years ago, had some deer poached down in southern Oklahoma, got it on our social media, our game warden page, Facebook page, and it all made it all the way to the regular news media reporting about it. Within 2 weeks of that, the case was solved. Yeah. You know, so
well, I think his name's George. That was what we named the coyote over there at the golf course at Sayre this summer. And because we were trying to do a humane way of getting rid of geese, and George got stolen. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, because of something on social media, he was returned to the rightful owners.
Yep. The power of social media can be a very big thing. So, you know, the other thing that with that, you know, we as game wardens really rely on the public. You know, I've got to leave here just in a little bit to go check on another possibly poached deer. I've had several in the past few weeks. But without those calls from the public, I don't ever know. I may not ever know about it. And so, you know, we urge the people right here in our hunting guide, hunting and fishing regulations, you go over to page 2 and 3, and there's the list of all the game wardens' phone numbers right there in the front 2 pages of that book. They're also online at wildlifedepartment.com. And, you know, you may not get one of us immediately. Sometimes cell phone service may be bad. Leave us a message. You can also call Operation Game Thief at 1-800-522-8039. You can remain anonymous and receive up to a $500 reward for reporting wildlife crimes if we can convict the person responsible. So, you know, or you can call the sheriff's office and they can get in contact with us. We have radios in our trucks. They can call us either on the phone or on the radio and get us. So we just urge everybody this time of year to be vigilant. Keep an eye out for suspicious activity. I've also heard from some of the deputies that some thefts have started picking back up, especially some oil field type thefts, stealing catalysts, stuff like that, to get those kind of like catalytic converter deals,
wiring,
batteries, you name it. So if you see something suspicious, you know, the old saying, see something, say something. Yep. And that you can't imagine how much that helps in our jobs, all walks of law enforcement, but especially my job. So I get lots of calls all the time, have a great relationship with a lot of landowners and a lot of other law enforcement in the area, and we work together because we're public servants. We're here to serve the people and the wildlife, and that's what, you know, what we're trying to do.
Well, Lieutenant James, hang on for one more little segment here. Let me go to break because Lacey always messes my breaks up. But anyway, she's always got something going on. It's either hairdresser, something to do with Channel 9, or take a nap or something. But anyway, we're going to be right back after this. This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And I got Lieutenant James, Game Warden for the Oklahoma Wildlife Department for Beckham County on here. So hang tight.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 8th. 1,259 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 328 brought 216. 9 at 549 brought 152.50. 18 at 643 brought 151. 21 at 685 brought 161.50. 20 at 773 brought 153.60. 3 head of heifers at 348 brought 160. 17 at 480 brought 140. 5 at 581 brought 124. 10 at 760 brought 144. 13 at 865 brought 141.50. Butcher cows were 5 to 70. Bred cows 200 to 10. 50 butcher bulls brought 72.50 to 89. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or 5 tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Beef! It's what's for dinner. I like it. Let me see here. Let's recirculate that. Yep, still 68 degrees. Still breezy. 25 miles an hour with gusts probably 30 or higher. I don't know what happened to the something going on with the National Weather Service's deal here. They're not showing me what I want to show. But anyway, we'll get to that. I'll have the Long Ranger coming up here after our next break. Actually, I have Lieutenant James Edwards that's in here from Game Warden for the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. He's in here. Gun season, Orange Army, as you call it, will be out this Saturday. And I have a few questions for you.
Oh.
Ask James where we send the bill for pasture rent for all these damn deer I'm feeding. He'll get back with you. I'm going to give him your number there, Bill Dance. And Bill Dance also said, saw two dead bucks this morning. Pretty sure they died from FBR. You know what FBR is?
You told me, but I'll let you tell them.
Front bumper replacement.
Exactly. There are a lot more deer getting run over right now. I've been up and down lots of different roads and seen lots of carcasses. And or pieces of carcasses. That's how badly they've been injured. We've had calls on injured deer. Of course, a lot of times those have to be put down. But, you know, it's just one of those deals that right now, any time during the day, but especially early mornings, late evenings, just need to be really careful.
Well, you know where I live.
Yeah, I tried to go down Spring Creek Road the other night at about whatever time it was, and you couldn't go very fast at all because they were just everywhere.
And it's probably worse than my road. But they, gentlemen, text in. I called James a few weeks ago about a fawn hung up in the fence and got it down and let him know about it. He checked it on it later that day and was really nice to talk to him. Thanks, James, he said.
Well, thank you very much. You know, like I said, man, we're here for the people and the wildlife. We're public servants. And, you know, we can't always save some of these animals. You know, I know some people don't always understand that nature can be cruel. You know, getting tangled in fences or running into vehicles or different things like that, you know, and I hate to see wildlife suffer. So if they need to be put down, you know, we will put them down. If we can get them to a place that they can be rehabilitated, we're going to try to do that. Now our policy is currently with the wildlife department, we're not to move around live deer, disease issues, CWD COVID. And things like that, not COVID. But just, you know, the deal there is we don't want to move and possibly transfer diseases from one place to another. So, you know, we've stopped transporting those animals, but especially if they're alive. But, you know, you hit on the COVID deal. I've seen some of the news stories that have popped up here about COVID in deer. We kind of had an email here a while back from our biologist, you know, confirming that, yes, they can and do contract coronavirus. It's not something that's new. It's not something that our biologists and stuff feel like is going to be a big issue. Use your normal precautions when you're handling your wildlife, your deer.
Yep.
Gloves and stuff like that. Deer carry ticks that can cause Lyme disease. We just want you to take the normal precautions. You know, we're not sitting here saying you got to mask up and do all that stuff. Just be smart again. And
shoot the ones with masks.
I'm
going to have so much fun with
this. Yeah, do all of that stuff that you normally would while taking care of your deer. And, if you have anything that's not looking ordinary, then maybe, give us a call or give one of our biologists a call and we can try and take a look at it.
I have some more texts for you.
Uh-oh.
And we got a little bit of time here. So let's go with this one. Maybe the deer need the jab too. I'll cover that later. And then he said, this gentleman here says, I hunt in Wheeler County, Texas, but thanks for all you do. Or he does. So I'm talking to you. So you do. Has he ever encountered someone where he feared for his life or was shot by a poacher?
I've never been shot and I don't ever want to be shot. Have I ever feared for my life? There's times that I've been in a very heightened state. Fear is a good thing in, small quantities. It causes the things in us that help us stay alive.
Well, you got a job,
where
you're confronting people all the time that are legally carrying guns with them.
Absolutely. And for the most part, a lot of those people that we contact that are carrying firearms or fishermen carrying knives, fillet knives or other things like that, are good, honest, ordinary people just trying to, do what
they
love.
Enjoy the outdoors.
But just like the other night, I come across some spotlighters, I'm 99.9% sure they're going to have a gun. And yes, it is a dangerous job, and yes, it is a dangerous situation. But I'm going to put myself always in the advantage. I had other game wardens that knew where I was at. They knew once I stopped the vehicle, they knew what the tag number was so that they could, run that tag and know who it was that vehicle belonged to. So I'm going to put myself in a situation that's going to be advantageous to me because of my goal is to go home at the end of the day.
And that's what
it all comes down to is, like I said, I've never been really scared. I can, short sidebar, I remember when I was young and my dad was a game warden and there was a couple of Idaho game wardens killed and there was a nationwide manhunt for the guy that did it.
I remember that.
Claude Lafayette Dallas.
Yep.
And I remember seeing on my dad's visor in his work truck the FBI most wanted poster with his fingerprints and all that stuff, and that was my first realization that my dad did a dangerous job and that he might not come back someday. And he set me down and he talked to me about that the good Lord put a brain in his head and put the radios in the truck and put the gear shifter on there that had an R in it, and if all else fails and you're starting to think this situation could be really bad, there's no bad thing to back up and call for help.
Yeah.
Call for backup.
Yeah, don't try to be
a hero. Don't be the hero, you know. So and I've run into it multiple times in my career. A lot of the stuff that goes on late at night goes bump in the night. There's an element of illegal substances involved. And you never know what those folks are going to do because they know a lot of times they stand to go to jail, although we've liberalized the criminal statutes on possession of methamphetamine and other drugs. But several people that I've arrested over the years for poaching had methamphetamine and stuff in their possession, and they went to jail. So you just don't ever know. But we appreciate the public support. We appreciate how much, we hear from them. And like I said, we're here to do a job. And we're going to do it. It's nothing personal. There's a lot of people sometimes go, he just doesn't like me. It has nothing to do with the personal side of the thing. I get paid to do a job.
So. What's your thoughts on, he says him, what's his thoughts on me doing a ride along? You guys, there's a protocol, and you guys do that every now and then.
Yeah, most of the time, it's ride alongs are intended for those that are looking into the career,
right?
You know, trying to either go into school or already finish school to try and become a game warden. COVID definitely kind of altered that. We had to shut it down for a while. I think we're doing it again now, but this time of year, you just never know where we're going to be, when we're going
to
be.
I'm going to use my media cards, credentials to get in one. One more question before I got to go to break. What is the Cougar, / Mountain Lion protocol?
Cougar / Mountain Lion protocol, if you see one, report the sighting, and then we can verify whether it's a verified sighting or not. We can determine whether or not it's a verified sighting. If you encounter one, if it is attacking or about to attack your livestock or you, you are entitled to shoot that animal. But then you have to immediately report it to us so that we can come investigate, check everything out. There's been some instances across the nation in the past year or so where there's been some attacks. One that comes to mind, the guy in Utah that was jogging or whatever, he played it really cool. He didn't have a weapon, but he never turned his back on the animal, because then you can instigate an attack response.
Because cats are just like a house cat. Cats are curious.
Yep. And that one was particularly trying to defend its young, and that's what they're going to do. But it was always bluff charging. It never did a full charge, but he did exactly what he should have. Keep backing away from the situation, talking to the animal. Get away, cat. Get away,
kitty,
cat.
Kitty,
you know. So, like I said, it's a something that we haven't had anything like that yet. Not saying that we won't ever, but I'm saying that it's probably going to be a rare instance when you look at the number of those animals across the United States and the number of instances of attacks.
Well, we're going to take a break. Lieutenant James ain't going nowhere because I'm not done with him. And anyway, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Lieutenant James with Oklahoma. He's an Oklahoma game warden for Beckham County. He's also the lieutenant of his district. And his partner in crime is Captain Jeff Hedrick. And is that District 8?
Seven.
That's close. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, we got a busy day with text messages. Thanks for everybody taking part of involved in themselves in the show. It's that time of the year. We're finishing up with some cotton harvest. I think peanuts are pretty much done. 72 degrees right now. Winds are out of the south, southwest at 20, gusting up to 24 miles an hour. Today's high will be 80. Well, that changes tomorrow. So tonight, 44. Tomorrow, high 58. And it's going to be breezy with winds straight out of the north. So we're going to have a wind chill factor tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 30 degrees. Winds die down a little bit, but not all the way. Thursday, 55. Thursday night, 33. And then it starts creeping back up. And come about Saturday, we'll have up to 69 degrees. So opening day is going to be lukewarm. And I would say you would recommend everybody to dress accordingly, wouldn't you?
Yep. You know, that's the other thing is in Oklahoma, I want to say it's right around November the 11th where there's a record high in the 80s, but on that same day, a record low of like 17. Yeah. So you never know. And we always recommend, you know, dress in layers. You could always take those off and put them back on as needed. But if you just go out in a T-shirt and pants and throw on a big coat, get hot and sweaty and take it off, then you're going to get cold. So dress in layers, dress according. Always give a plan of knowing where you're going to be, letting somebody know where you're going to be.
Here's a gentleman that texts us in. He's from Blair. I know he is because his name comes up, tells Jimmy what to do. I don't know where. Drew Cobb must have did this. Anyway, he said, when I was a kid in New Mexico, a boy shot his dad hunting quail in the face 80 miles from the hospital. Helicopter took 45 minutes. It was a rough go.
Yep.
And that's what. And with a rifle, it's not going to be any better.
Yeah, it's you know, a whole lot different situation. Not that you can't be killed with the shotgun. You obviously can, because 1 ounce of steel or 1 ounce of lead is 1 ounce of lead, especially at close range, whether it's pellets or a slug. But that rifle bullet, you know, it's intended to perform to kill an animal. So if it's hitting you, it's going to do the same kind of thing.
Real quick, we got about 5 minutes. James ain't going nowhere. Lieutenant James isn't going anywhere. Hard red winter wheat as of 11 o'clock. Cash prices in Oklahoma was at $7.84. Corn was $5.66 a bushel. Milo's at $5.69. Soy beans were at $11.88. They're creeping up. And cotton hanging in there at $1.18. Wow. Anyway, tomorrow I'm going to go over some. I had a question at the store this morning from a gentleman that lives really close to me. He was asking what a short ton was on soy meal. And I'm going to go over that tomorrow. It's going to be fun going over that. And it looks like, according to my text I just got, I'm going to be doing part of the back road show. Drew's show will never be the same again. he's in the doctor's office in Oklahoma City. He's on his way home, and so hopefully he gets here in time because he didn't want me to mess his show up. I know for a fact this weekend, even if you're bow hunting, you have to wear orange.
Yep.
And public hunting. Quail season shuts down this Friday on all public. Just check your regulations.
Yeah.
You can do it online on your app on the phone or whatever. But around here, Pack Saddle, Sandy Sanders, Ellis County, I know for a fact that quail season closes.
Yeah, for everything 9 days. Like that closes for the first 9 days. All other hunting, basically on the public areas, shuts down for the first 9 days of season. Give deer hunters their access.
And believe me, you don't need to be out there.
Yeah, it can. You don't want to be out there. There'd be conflicts and different things. So no other type of hunting besides deer hunting right now on those areas until the end of next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend.
A week from
then
this
you can go back.
Yeah. After this week, on the following Monday, a week from this Sunday.
Because then that's the other side of that is after those first 9 days, the deer hunting closes.
Yep.
On those public areas. Now, Sandy Sanders is not actually open to deer
hunting,
rifle
season. Yep.
So can't be out there anyways with a rifle deer hunting. But Black Kettle, Pack Saddle, Ellis County, Lugert, those, you know, for the first 9 days, it's deer hunters only. But then we got to shut the deer hunting off to give quail hunters and all the other hunters an opportunity.
And there's some great hunting on public ground. We're blessed. We got, what, 75,000 acres of federal and state public hunting out here in western Oklahoma. And I'll be honest with you, I quail hunt it more than I do private.
Yep. There's a lot of good opportunities, you know, and even though the quail numbers may not be, I heard some mixed reviews. I heard pack saddle was off a little, black kettle was off a little. Haven't really heard anything from Sandy, but it's been off a little bit. But
mainly hopefully. Because of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Wait, my ponds are dry down there.
Yeah, it's dry, and that makes it hard on the dogs trying to smell and the animals trying to survive. So
they, State needs to buy. Oh, here we go. Somebody's advising you that we need to buy some more land.
We're trying. You know, we're always looking for more land, but there's some impediments every once in a while, and that's just part of the job. But like I said, we appreciate everybody. Like I said, y'all have a safe hunting season, and good luck to you.
All right. Well, he knows what the music means. So anyway, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. You've been listening to Lieutenant James Edwards for most of the hour with Lacey Swope. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.